Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your joy. We pray right now we can all receive from you. And I pray that my words this morning will be your words. Amen. Well, as we come to this second fruit of joy, you might have noticed that a few weeks ago in the evening service, Diane actually preached from one of the Psalms on joy. You might remember the picture that was up there with joy made out of hot air balloons. And not for the first time, Diane and I are duplicating one another's sermons, which has happened about four times. There you go, it's the Lord's work. And I have no idea what you said, Diane, because I haven't actually listened to your sermon. So, but if God's in it, then he'll bless all of us, I'm sure. This word, joy. Somebody mentioned what brings joy. Newport County winning at football? Depends who you support, of course. Last Saturday, I went to the Aegeus Bowl, which is the cricket ground in Southampton. It was my birthday present to watch the match between England and Pakistan. It was a thrilling match and England won. There was a lot of happiness at the end. But how long did that happiness really last? Did it really bring true joy? Jesus talks here about the disciples going through a time of sorrow and then joy coming after. Do we know true joy? Because so many of these things that might bring us a bit of happiness doesn't really last in the way that joy that God gives us does. And like so many of these traits mentioned in the fruit of the Spirit, it has the potential to be a great witness to those with no faith. I wonder, when was the last time you saw true joy? Can you remember? Was it a particular event or a particular time in your life where you remember joy? Did people see the joy of Jesus in your life? To give you another cricket illustration, Kevin Peterson, former England batsman, wrote about his former coach, Andy Flower. Andy Flower, contagiously sour, infectiously dour. He could walk into a room and suck all the joy out of it in 5 seconds. Do we know people like that? Obviously not in this church. But joy is a state of delight and it results from knowing God. Do people see the joy of a relationship with Jesus when they see us? We might hear about the fruit of the Spirit and think, I need to work on these things. I need to be more loving, more joyful, find more peace. But we're not recipients of the fruit of the Spirit. We're here to try and grow this fruit. God wants these things to flow through us. And I think the verb flow works so well for joy. Joy can't be faked. Joy arises in all circumstances. You know, as Rachel said earlier, there are times when things might not be going well in our lives, but we can still have joy. Joy has nothing to do with money or pleasure. Joy is something that God does. Joy is produced in us. You know, happiness can be very insecure. Sometimes we receive things that make us happy, but do they really last in the way that true joy does, that God gives us? And we read here of the disciples having that confusion. Jesus went on to say, in a while you will see me no more, then after a while you will see me. At this, some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a while you will see me no more, and then you will see me, because I am going to the Father? And they kept asking, what does he mean? They don't understand what he's saying. The disciples are likely to get confused here. This is likely to create insecurity. Are they happy following Jesus? Well, one would imagine so. So this must have unsettled them a bit. What does he mean? Where's he going? What does he mean? Is he going on holiday? We read a lot of the disciples' questionings. Why can't Jesus give us a more of a straight answer here? And yet in reply, Jesus again makes it clear what is in store for the disciples. Jesus saw what they wanted to ask him about this, and he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a while you will see me?'" You know, Jesus turns the thoughts away from himself and to them. And his main theme is joy and not sorrow. "Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." This really sounds like being set apart, doesn't it? Being different from the rest of the world. God's people being different. Have you ever known that feeling? As it says here, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. Everyone else around you seems to be happy. Everyone else around you seems to be getting God's blessings. And you're wondering, has he forgotten me? Everyone else seems happy except me. And yet Jesus talks of a different understanding here, an understanding which brings joy. Perhaps you're sitting here today and you can remember that joy of coming to faith and what that was like. It's a different feeling of joy compared to anything ever before. At the death of Jesus, there would have been a feeling of how his mission had failed, how it had all gone wrong. "You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices." Surely this is it. Surely this mission of Jesus has gone wrong. We all go through those times when things are just not going right. Things are just not working out. Surely this can't be the plan. Maybe we wonder where God is, whether there can possibly be a loving God, whether there can be a God at all. And also, if there is a God, if everything's going wrong, then surely it must be his fault. However, Jesus promises their grief will turn to joy, a greater joy than they could ever know. This promise of better days to come. Jesus has spoken of how there will be a time when they will not see him for a while, a time of difficulty and darkness. Then they will see him again. I wonder why he's saying this to them. Probably to sustain them for all the difficulties they will be experiencing. That promise that a better time awaits. Have you noticed something here? Our circumstances can bring about happiness, of course they can. But very often, these things can be outside of our control. However, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit and the different character traits, the things I've spoken about growing fruit in our lives and a desire to be a witness for God. Growing fruit is about the choices we make and the way we respond in different situations. Fruit doesn't grow without effort. Without an effort to grow it and to water it. You know, there are lots of things from outside of our control which can affect our happiness. Good things that can happen, bad things that can happen, things that we have no control over. And yet, we all have a choice about how we'll respond, about when we grow this fruit of joy in our lives. Even when we're going through difficulties, we have the opportunity to show joy. James chapter 1, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." What does this mean? Consider it a joy to suffer. Does this mean we go through life looking for suffering, looking to get these difficulties, looking for things to cause us problems? Of course it doesn't. But there is a reality that we will all face difficulties, probably some more than others. However, Jesus promises his disciples here that although they have difficult times approaching, there will be a time of joy, This is to do with the promise that Jesus offers, that promise of eternal life. By trusting in him means we can know that joy, that everlasting joy. Jesus also says in John 16, in verse 33, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. That's next week. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus makes it very clear. There is a guarantee that we will all face trouble. Life will not be perfect all the time, every day. All of us have had difficult times. All of us probably will have difficult times in the future. We won't always be happy. But we can choose to have joy. Choose to follow Jesus and let this fruit of joy grow in our lives. And this sounds easy, but of course it isn't always easy. I can stand here and say to remember, God's got a plan, things will all work out for the good in the end. But that's not an easy thing to hear when we're going through it, is it? When we're going through those difficult times, it's not easy to hear the words, be joyful. It's hard to be joyful when we have so many questions, so many doubts. Hard to be joyful when we're worried and anxious about things, or when we're frustrated and angry. These are important things to remember, that Jesus is promising a life beyond this one, which is far greater. Revelation 21, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And yet this isn't just a promise of joy, of a life beyond this one, but that joy of knowing Jesus that we can experience today. Have you experienced that joy of knowing Jesus today? What does it look like to be growing this fruit of joy? It can be about being happy, of course it can. But people notice it so much in our attitude. You know, at Cafe Church last Sunday afternoon, one of the discussions that came out was, do people see the evidence of this fruit in our lives? We talk about these things, the fruit of the Spirit. Do people see it in us all the time? Do people see the joy of Jesus? The best compliment we can have is that people say they saw evidence of Jesus at work in our lives. Growing this fruit comes down to our outlook and our understanding. So much of it about knowing Jesus and knowing his joy. Yeah, these things can be difficult to explain until we come to faith, until we have that relationship with him, until we appreciate what he's done in our lives. And we know that joy through knowing him. As Christians, we should have that fruit of joy and people to see that fruit in us. But like all of these fruits, it doesn't happen overnight. It's something we're always working at, something we're always trying to grow. We don't get it perfect straight away. Do you know the joy of knowing Jesus today? I wonder. Do people always see the joy of Jesus in our lives? Do we know him in that way? That we know his joy, whatever we might be going through, however difficult life may become, are we able to say, I know Jesus. I know his joy. Psalm 126, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Whatever you're going through today, Jesus loves you, and Jesus wants you to know him and to know his joy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us, which means we can have that joy. And I pray that we can grow in our walk with you, in our relationship with you, by reading your word and spending time with you, to continue to grow in joy. Father, forgive us for those times when we don't always show your joy, when we let other things get in the way from the greatest joy and the greatest pleasure, which is knowing you. And so, Father, I pray for all of us, for the situations we go into, that we can know your joy and share your joy. Amen. We prepare to come to a time of communion. We have an open table here this morning. And the reason we share in communion is because Jesus went to the cross for us. And if you've accepted him as Lord and Saviour, then you are welcome at the table. And before we come to that table, we reflect on Jesus going to the cross and on his sacrifice. And we'll remain seated as we sing these words. Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice.